with Prabhupada, we were on a morning walk on December the 11th in 1975. That was in Vrindavan. And at that time, Akshayananda Swami, he was the temple president there at Krishna Balaram Mandir. So during the morning's walk, Akshayananda Swami sought Shastric verification for our standards of chanting japa, which some people have faulted. So sometimes we got criticized. They're only chanting 16 rounds. This was like common in Vrindavan, some of the Babajis and others, and even sometimes from other mats, they would criticize the standards that we had in ISKCON. So he said, of course we accept that when you tell us to chant 16 rounds, we accept that figure in perfect faith. You are the Acharya. But what if we want to convince others? Is there any Shastric or Vedic verse that we can refer to corroborate that we must chant at least 16 rounds or that many number of names? No, Prabhupada answered. In the Shastra, it is not said like that. It is said, Sankhya Purvaka, you must fix up the numerical strength. So whatever you can do, but I have fixed up 16 rounds because you cannot do. Akshayananda Swami confirmed, that's all we can do. Prabhupada smiled and added with a touch of irony, yes, that also difficult. Akshayananda Swami laughed, yes. And Prabhupada continued, otherwise Haridas Thakur was chanting 3 lakhs, so that is not possible. You should not try to imitate, but whatever you fix up, then you must do, and that is wanted. Yes, Akshayananda Swami said, I was told that in the beginning you asked the first disciples to chant 64 rounds. Prabhupada said, yes. And they were unable, Akshayananda said. And we were all laughing. And he added, and then you asked them to chant 32. Prabhupada grinned. Sankhya Purva Kanama Gana Nati B. Sankhya Purva, our numerical strength must be there, and you should follow rigidly. So if we're serious and sincere, that means that 16 will increase to continuously chanting, Akshayananda said. You can do also now, Prabhupada said. It is not that, oh, because I have finished my 16 rounds. No, you can increase, but that 16 must be finished. Yes, Akshayananda agreed. What I mean is that that's to bring us to the platform of chanting constantly. At least we must do that numerical number. And if we are fortunate, we may finally be able to chant constantly day and night. Yes, Prabhupada confirmed. So on that point about in the beginning, Prabhupada asking the devotees to chant 64, and then he cut it to 32, and then he cut it to 16. I once asked Brahmananda if we were talking, and he told me that he had asked Srila Prabhupada why he had done that. Yeah, because in 26 Second Avenue, apparently Prabhupada had told the devotees now, when he introduced them to chanting japa, he said, now you do 64 rounds every day. So after a couple of days, they came back to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, this is really hard. We can't do this much. So then Prabhupada said, all right, do 32. So then after a couple of days, they came back and they said, Swamiji, this is too much. We can't do this much. So then Prabhupada said, all right, do 16, but that's it. You have to do 16. And so he stuck with that. And so Brahmananda had asked Srila Prabhupada why he had, you know, changed from 64 to 32 and then to 16. And then Prabhupada told him, I was experimenting. So Prabhupada was seeing what the Westerners can do. And then he decided on a program that he thought best suited, you know, our conditioning and mentality. So he got this mixture of, you know, a regular class, chanting your japa 16 rounds, and then the rest of the time doing very active service. And he explained that, of course, more and more. And even in 1976, when I was with him, he was still talking about that, why he did 16 rounds. So September 17th, 1976, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he was giving a class. And he explained that chanting a certain fixed number of rounds every day is one of the rules governing success. He said Haridas Thakur chanted 3 lakhs of names per day, but Rupa Goswami was chanting less because he was writing books, although he still did a fixed number of rounds. Similarly, he told us, we must have some numerical strength, and we have minimized. I know that you were coming from a different source, so according to time and according to circumstances, but even then, there is no limit. You can chant more than 1,600 times, but practically we see that even chanting 16 rounds becomes difficult. So, don't try to imitate, but do it properly. What is advised by your spiritual master, without any offense. And that mantra will save you from the dangers of Maya. That is a fact. And then again, the last visit Prabhupada had here to Los Angeles. That was in the first 10 days of June in 1976. So on June the 6th, Prabhupada got a visit from Peter Burwash and a couple of his employees who were also interested in spiritual life. So Peter, he had this international organization of tennis coaching, and you could go to big hotels all around the world. There'd be somebody from Peter Burwash International, and you know, you could get some coaching in tennis. And he had a very strict system. So he explained to Prabhupada that the men that he signs up as staff coaches must follow the 4 regulative principles, and if they break them, then they are released and they cannot rejoin. And this is actually written into their contracts. He said they try to preach, although not too directly, and if somebody shows a favorable attitude, then they try to nurture it. A few of them who were tuned into the more spiritual side of things are gradually introduced to the philosophy if they show some inclination. But he said the biggest difficulty is the long hours that they work. A regimen of 16 or 18-hour work days makes it difficult for them to chant 16 rounds a day. So he asked Prabhupada if it was all right for them to chant 8 or 10 rounds. Prabhupada appreciated their sincerity and he was very friendly to them, but he held firm to the standard of 16. The meeting was very congenial. Prabhupada thanked them for their efforts and encouraged them to continue. So even though he tried to persuade Prabhupada, and these were not people that were initiated, but Prabhupada wouldn't budge. He said, no, 16, that's it, you must do, minimum. And for many years afterwards, Peter was still chanting 8 rounds. But I think then gradually he upped it. Once he retired from doing his active, you know, tennis stuff, he had a bit more time. So I think he chants 16 rounds now. Sometimes I see him in Vrindavan. He comes usually in the early part of the year. So anyway, 16 rounds. And again, Prabhupada used to comment on this point that even 16 rounds, you know, it's sometimes even that is a little difficult. And on April the 1st, 1976, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And again, he was giving a class from Srimad Bhagavatam 7946, wherein Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about Mona, or the vow of silence. So in India, even today, people sometimes practice Mona, although generally it is not done for spiritual purposes, and neither is it strictly followed, as the practitioner often communicates with a small blackboard and chalk, or a pencil and paper. We actually had experience several times. We had these Mona, you know, babas that came to see Prabhupada, and although they're not supposed to be speaking, they had little blackboards and they'd be scribbling away and communicating. So, you know, where is the question of silence? So, Prabhupada said, therefore, that there is no question of not talking. One must talk. But that talk should only be about Krishna. If all we talk about is mundane activities, he said, then we should practice Mona. But for one who is preaching Krishna consciousness, there is never enough to be said. Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada told us, said that, I only have one tongue and 2 ears. So how can I enjoy or serve Hare Krishna with only one tongue and 2 ears? If I had millions of ears and trillions of tongues, then it would be possible. So he is feeling like that. So he's expecting so many ears and so many tongues to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Then he added, with perhaps a touch of irony, a comment relating to our present state of affairs. So far we are concerned, conditioned soul, Prabhupada said, even 16 rounds becomes very, very difficult job for us because we are practiced to talk nonsense. We cannot find out a little time, say 2 hours, for chanting Hare Krishna, but we can find out 24 hours for talking nonsense. Therefore, one who cannot chant the Hare Krishna mantra, he should stop his talking. That is called mona. Don't talk anymore. Better remain silent. So this is a recommendation by Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada concluded his class by saying that nowadays, nobody can follow the strict practices mentioned in the scriptures. Therefore, we should simply rely on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, Prabhupada stressed always, at least do your 16. But he often also sometimes said that you can do more than 16. 16 is just the minimum. Now, later in 1976, there was a problem that arose with a former servant of Srila Prabhupada's, Nittai. And he had come to Vrindavan in Janmasthami of 75 when Prabhupada visited. And then he had stayed back and joined with the Gurukul there. And he was also supposed to be heading up the deity worship program. So gradually, he was trying to learn some Sanskrit and he was going outside and he was visiting a certain Goswami that was teaching him Sanskrit. And he moved out to Govardhan at one point. He was living there with Yogananda, another friend of his. And then he was visiting different Babajis. So from that association, gradually became polluted. And then finally, he got to the point where he actually rejected Srila Prabhupada. And he became very, very critical. So when Prabhupada had arrived back in India on August the 13th in Bombay, this was from the last world tour that he did, apart from that one visit in 77 to London. But that was, that 76 tour was the last world tour that he did. So Nittai was there. He came to see Prabhupada, and I thought at the time that I thought he was ill because he looked so pale and withdrawn that I thought there was something wrong with him. And I asked him, "Are you all right?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, I'm fine." But he was completely lackluster. And Prabhupada discussed with him about getting a library for the new Bombay temple. And he had a plan. He was going to have a library with all the different works of the different acharyas in there, even Shankaracharya. And he had given 4,000 rupees, which was quite a lot of money in those days, to Nittai to buy these books. So Nittai had gone off, and then nobody heard from him again. So in early September, Prabhupada had arrived in Vrindavan. And on September the 4th, then we started getting a little news about Nittai's situation. So there seems to be a major problem with Nittai Das, Prabhupada's former servant. He was supposed to be helping to establish the Gurukul here, as well as the deity worship, but he has not been seen since he was visiting Prabhupada in Bombay 2 weeks ago. Rupa Vilas Das, who has been here about 6 months and is heading up the Gurukul, came to see Prabhupada in the evening to discuss what to do. Prabhupada questioned Rupa Vilas about Nittai's propensities. His approach was that if Nittai wasn't happy with his service, then that could be adjusted to something that he liked to do. Rupa Vilas said that Nittai was a good scholar and he liked to study languages and to write, but he was not an effective teacher. Prabhupada asked if he had written anything. And when Rupa Vilas said he had done some Back to Godhead articles, Prabhupada asked, "So, why doesn't he write? If he's got a taste for something particular, then he can do that. But nobody knows where he is." He shook his head in disapproval and disappointment. "He is not fixed up. He wanted to take charge of the deity worship, and now he's gone away." It was mentioned by Gopal Krishna and Harikesh Maharaj that he had left with the 4,000 rupees and he was now said to be living in Radhakund. Prabhupada was a little disgusted. "Just see, Prabhupada didn't like devotees living in Radhakund. One of the devotees added, a boy has come from Bombay, and he told me that he had seen Nittai, and he had said, well, if I have to leave, I have to go. So Prabhupada shook his head. Oh, then he's at Radhakund. He has taken the 4,000 rupees and he's gone to Radhakund. That is his taste. Sit idly and become famous as a very good scholar. Rupa Vilas said that Nittai did not attend many classes nor even teach very often. Prabhupada curled his lips a little in dissatisfaction. Restless, that's all. Mind not fixed up. Restless. Now, what will he do with that 4,000 rupees? It's a very good program. If I get some thousands of rupees and sit in Radhakund and eat, oh, that is a very good idea. Gopal said that he thought that he could find him. Prabhupada said that it wasn't a question of finding him. That is not difficult. But what is his mentality? Why he has gone to Radhakund if he was teaching here? You cannot rely upon him. So that was September the 4th. 5 days later, on the 9th, there was more discussion. Complaints about Nittai Das have been increasing daily. Apparently, he's been telling the devotees that it is not possible to go back to Godhead in this life unless one chants 100,000 names of Krishna, or about 64 rounds, every day. He has been claiming that if one only chants 16 rounds, it will take many births. Many devotees are affected by this nonsense, which Nittai got from some advanced devotee in Govardhan. Prabhupada said that he has become a Sahajya. He pointed out that in initiation, we agree to chant not less than 16 rounds. We are not saying only 16 rounds, Prabhupada said. You can chant more if you want, 64. But actually, we're not capable of chanting 64, 100,000 names a day. That is not possible for you. So then 2 days later, more news. This was on the 11th. There was more news about Nittai later in the day. Gopal Krishna had met Yogananda Das, who had been renting a small house in Govardhan with Nittai. Yogananda told him that for the last few weeks he had not seen Nittai. Then today, just by chance, he saw Nittai sitting in a train at the Mathura railway station. The train was just about to pull away. So he had gone up to him through the window. And then Nittai suddenly pulled out the 4,000 rupees that he had been given in Bombay to purchase books for the library and told Yogananda to return it to the temple. When Yogananda asked him what he was going to do, Nittai said, now I'm going to Jaipur to say goodbye to Govindaji, because Govindaji is the presiding deity of Jaipur. Then I'm going to Nabadweep, and then I shall return to America because my wife has sent me a ticket. Yogananda affirmed that Nittai has indeed left ISKCON. When Prabhupada heard this news, he shook his head in disapproval. So then the next day, there was more discussion about his departure. Prabhupada expressed strong displeasure about his propaganda that unless you chant 64 rounds daily, you cannot go back to Godhead in this life. We don't mind if you chant 64 rounds, Prabhupada said. That is good for you if you can do it. I never said only 16. 16 is the minimum. You must do that. But the difficulty is that some of them, they cannot even chant 16. So how they'll do 64? If you can do 64, then do it. But why do you have to go to New York to chant 64? Why leave Vrindavan? Vrindavan is the best place to chant 64 rounds, but you're going to Jaipur to say goodbye to Govindaji. You rascal, get out. You cannot stay here. That is Govindaji. Just to save this rascal from going to hell by his bad association, Krishna is forcing him to leave. You cannot stay here. Get out. It is Krishna's mercy that he is made to leave and give back the 4,000 rupees. 1 minute later, and he would have been missed at the railway station, and he would have kept that money. It was Krishna's arrangement. Then 2 days later, September the 14th, Nittai sent a letter to Srila Prabhupada explaining his leaving ISKCON. At first, Harikesh Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's secretary at that time, didn't want to read the letter because it was so offensive. But when Hansidudu Maharaj saw it, he insisted that it should be shown to Prabhupada so that we could hear his rebuttals to Nittai's different points. So this afternoon, after his nap, we went into Prabhupada's room and sat before him. Prabhupada was grave as Harikesh read out the letter. He responded point by point, not to dictate a reply, as he normally does, but simply for our benefit. Nittai began by disclaiming the authenticity of our disciplic line. He cited Radharaman Charandas Babaji, a contemporary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who claimed that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was never initiated by Srila Gaurkishore. It was well known that Gaurkishore never had any disciples. So this was his first point. Prabhupada responded that Radharaman Charandas Babaji was a Kanista Adhikari, whom Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had strongly criticized for advertising himself as a great preacher without having any actual knowledge of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. He was the one that invented the Nittai Gaur Radhisham Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram mantra. I'll speak a little bit more about that in a minute. Nittai went on to say that he now doubted ISKCON's teachings. They are just opposite to, or a misrepresentation of, what is actually in the Shastra. Because ISKCON's teachings means Prabhupada's teachings. As an example, he offered a quote from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Lord Chaitanya says that one cannot become one of his associates unless one chants 1 lakh of names daily. Prabhupada's reply was practical. If you take all of the Goswamis, Babajis and Mahatmas in the whole of Vrindavan area together, they have not advanced Lord Chaitanya's movement 1 inch. So they claim we're chanting, we're the associates of Lord Chaitanya. But Prabhupada's point was that they have not done anything to advance Lord Chaitanya's movement. So we may be only chanting 16 rounds, but we're spreading all over the world. Nittai's next point was that Srila Haridas Thakur was the Namacharya. Since he chanted 3 lakhs of names a day, we either have to imitate that or keep it as our goal. Nittai asserted that if we chant at least 1 lakh of names daily, then Krishna will automatically give us prem. But Prabhupada disagreed. He said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta condemned the idea of sitting down and chanting in one place as merely a cheating process adopted by unscrupulous persons desirous of obtaining name and fame as a so-called advanced devotee. He added that the idea that Krishna will automatically give prem is Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Krishna is not obligated to give prem to anyone, no matter how many rounds they chant. Incredibly, at the end of Nittai's letter, he had the audacity and the hypocrisy to tell Srila Prabhupada that he was now going out to seek the shelter of some other great Mahatma in whom I can place greater faith. And he asked for Prabhupada's blessings so that I may advance more and more. Prabhupada's response was very strong. Yes, I bless you that you will never advance. He then dictated a telegram to be sent to all the GBCs. Please let it be known that Nittai has become a venomous serpent. Be careful of him. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So, just on that point about the initiation of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Nittai is a professor, or rather Neil Delmonico is a professor at one, I think, university in Chicago or someplace. So he has his own website. So a few years back, somebody had told me about this, so I logged on just out of curiosity to see what he was up to. And he had put there like a little biography of himself, autobiography, and he mentioned how he had previously been a follower of Bhaktivedanta Swami, and then he had left him. And he gave an explanation in one place about how, you know, his mind had changed when he found out that Bhaktisiddhanta had not been initiated by Gaurkishore Das Babaji. But he that in his explanation, he admitted that actually nobody really knows whether he was initiated by him or not. But everybody knew that Gokisho didn't have any disciples. So it was one of those everybody knows things, right? Everybody knows, they don't know. Right? It was common knowledge, in other words. So on the basis of this so-called common knowledge that had been given to him by these Babajis, he then accepted that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had not been initiated. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, of course, himself said that he was initiated. So it comes down to who you accept. Was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta lying when he said that he'd gotten initiated by Gokishore Das Babaji? Or are these Babajis, who were actually envious of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and against his preaching and critical of him, are they correct in their what amounts to an assumption that because we know, it's common knowledge, Gokishore never had any disciples, then how could Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati have been initiated by him? So it was a supposition on their part, but it was an actual claim by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. But this rascal chose to believe these Babajis rather than Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. So he himself admitted that was the turning point for him, that when he realized this so-called truth, then he was devastated. And so then he came to the conclusion that now this is not authorized and he has to leave. So he got poisoned by these so-called Babajis and big Mahatmas in Vrindavan. And therefore, you know, Prabhupada always told us, because I lived in Vrindavan for quite a long time with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada always told us, and he forbade his disciples to go and associate with these people, because, you know, their only business was to poison, you know, their understandings. So anyway, Nittai was a classic example of somebody that got completely bewildered and poisoned. And to this day, he is still criticizing Srila Prabhupada. So, and I was told later on, Jayapataka Maharaj told me that Srila Prabhupada had said that he will not go back to Godhead for many kalpas, because of his offenses. Because you can also ask them, why did Prabhupada, you know, respond so heavily when he asked for blessings? Why did Prabhupada say, yes, I bless you, you will never advance, if Prabhupada, you know, was very merciful? And that response was because Nittai was insulting Prabhupada's spiritual master. Not because he was leaving Prabhupada, it was because he was insulting his guru. And therefore, Prabhupada responded very heavily to him. If it was a question that he came and said, Prabhupada, I just lost faith in you. I can't follow you anymore. I want to go somewhere else. Prabhupada would have said, all right, what can be done? You go. But because he insulted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada couldn't tolerate that. So anyway, more on Nittai, September the 16th, another couple of days later. Up until this point, all of the discussions about Nittai had been in Prabhupada's rooms. There was just a few of us, you know, the GBC and Akshayananda and myself, Harry Keshe, like that. But it had not been, you know, Prabhupada hadn't spoken publicly about Nittai up until this point. So he was giving his Bhagavatam class on the 16th morning on 1719, which is a description about Ashvatthama and the Brahmastra, you know, and the chanting of mantras to throw weapons. So Prabhupada was speaking about the power of sound, and it naturally led him to speak about the ultimate mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So if on the mental platform, material platform, the mantra can act so wonderfully, how much spiritually the mantra can benefit you? You'd have to simply imagine, Prabhupada told us. So this Hare Krishna mantra is completely spiritual. If you chant it, spiritually enlivened, then surely it will act. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It will act, and therefore chanting is so important. There is no difference between Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and His holy name, Krishna. It requires good brain to understand how Krishna can appear in a form which can be seen by us, or Krishna can appear in a form of sound, which we can hear. It is for our benefit. You should immediately see that this Sankirtan, Hare Krishna, is Krishna and Radha, Hara and Krishna, Radha Krishna, or Sita Ram, or Lakshmi Narayan, or any of the form of Lord Vishnu. Hare Krishna means the Supreme Lord and His spiritual potency. So we have to address Hare, oh, the energy, spiritual energy of the Lord, and Krishna, oh, the Supreme Lord, Hare Rama, the same thing. So what is the meaning of addressing, hey Krishna, hey Radhe, hey Ram? Why? That just engage me in your service. So this is our prayer. It is not our prayer that, oh Krishna, oh Ram, give me some money, give me some woman. No, this is not the prayer. Of course, in the neophyte stage, they can pray like that, but that is not Sudha Bhakti, pure devotion. Pure devotion means to pray to the Lord, begging some service. Oh my Lord, kindly engage me in your service. That is the perfection of life when one is engaged in the service of the Lord in love. So in discussing chanting, Prabhupada made a strong and not so veiled reference to Nittai. So you can become a very great saint and live in a secluded place and become puffed up that you have become a very great personality. And people may come to see him that, oh, he is not to be seen. He is chanting. But my Guru Maharaj has condemned this. He said, Manatumi Kishara Vaishnav, my dear mind, your mental concoction, you were thinking that you had become a very big Vaishnav. You do not do anything and you sit down in a secluded place and imitating Haridas Thakur, chanting. So you are a nonsense. Why? Nijanarik Hare Pratistara Tari. To get some cheap adoration as a great chanter. Because if one is actually chanting, then why should he be attracted by women and bidhi? If he is actually in such a position like Haridas Thakur, then why should he be attracted by material things? So this is a false show only. So that is not possible for the ordinary person. Therefore, an ordinary person must be physically engaged. That is not physical, that is also transcendental, but always busy in some business of Krishna consciousness. So that is wanted. Not that, oh, I have become a great scholar, and now I have learned how to become a great Vaishnav. I chant 64 rounds and think of my wife somewhere, and then goodbye to Govindaji and leave Vrindavan. We all knew who he was referring to, and there was muted laughter amongst the audience. With an ironic smile, went on. So this rascaldom do not follow. Govindaji drives away such rascals from Vrindavan. So Vrindavan, one who is living in Vrindavan, he must be very anxious how to spread the glories of Vrindavan Chandra all over the world. That is wanted. Not that Vrindavan Chandra is my private property and I sit down in a place and lick up. No, that is not wanted. That is condemned by my Guru Maharaj. He says, what kind of Vaishnava rascal you are? Simply for cheap adoration, you are living in a secluded place. Tabahari Nama Kevala Kaitava. Your chanting of the so-called Hare Krishna mantra is simply cheating. He has said that. So one must be ready to preach very vigorously. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's also order. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said that, oh, you chant. He has certainly given the chanting. But so far his mission is concerned, he said, every one of you become a guru. Amara Agyaya Guru Hanatari Aridesh, and deliver, preach, that people understand what is Krishna. Prativitaya Chajato Nagaradi Gram. So that is his mission. It is not that, oh, become a big Vaishnav and sit down and imitate. This is all rascaldom. So don't follow this thing. At least we cannot advise you to in that way. We have learned from our Guru Maharaj that preaching is a very, very important thing. And when one is actually an experienced preacher, then he is able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra without offense. Before that, this so-called chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, you may practice without any offenses, and then giving up all of the businesses to make a show of big Vaishnav, that is not required. Thank you very much. So far, Prabhupada has spoken about Nittai's deviation in private to just a few of us. But this public criticism this morning left no doubt in the devotees' minds what is the real Siddhanta and the standard of practice. So that was quite a dramatic event in some ways. And Prabhupada, you know, was very pointed in his criticism and his exposure of what constitutes actually real chanting. As he said there, when you become expert in preaching, then you can chant the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses. So that process Prabhupada gave us. So later on, the following year, we were in Mayapur. This is on February the 25th, 1977. Prabhupada was there for the Gopunima festival. And he was giving class on Srimad Bhagavatam 795. And he was explaining that if you want to understand Krishna, it is only through bhakti. Neither knowledge, nor yoga, nor karma, nor jnana. Nothing, he said. Nothing will help you. Simply a devotee. And how to become a devotee? How easy it is? Just see. Here, Prahlad Maharaj, innocent child, simply offering his obeisances. And Krishna is also asking you, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Mad Jaji Mam Namaskaru. If you sincerely do these four items, always think of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is thinking of Krishna, Manmana. And you can stick to this principle of Hare Krishna mantra if you are an unalloyed devotee. Without being unalloyed devotee, it is very difficult. It will be tiresome. But we shall practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Immediately, we cannot become a first-class devotee. We cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. That is not possible. But minimum, Sankipurvaka nama gana nati bi. We have to practice. So certain numerical strength we must maintain. And we have made it, therefore. So some of our so-called devotees, they have criticized me that I have limited to only 16 rounds. No, why only 16 rounds? You can make 300 rounds, but minimum 16 rounds, because we are not accustomed to devote so much time. So we must be busy always. But to sit down in one place and chant the Hare Krishna mantra continuously, that is not possible for any conditioned soul, unless he is liberated. So don't try to imitate. My Guru Maharaj is strictly forbidden. Don't try to imitate the big personalities like Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami. He used to say, Rupa Goswami ke moga vancha. Rupa Goswami, because he used to put on this loincloth. So, it is no use imitating Rupa Goswami, to imitate the dress, and then as soon as there is an opportunity, smoke bidi. Don't do this nonsense. This is no use, imitation. Anusaran, not Anukaran. Anukaran is dangerous. Anusaran, sadhu maganu gamaman. This is bhakti. So we shall try and follow the footsteps of the big devotees and the sadhus. We shall try to follow, but we shall not try to imitate. That is very dangerous. So some of our devotees, they have left. Oh, there is no bhajan here. So they're asking me my blessing to find out another guru. So he wants my blessing for finding out a guru. So this rascaldom is no good. So again, another reference to Nittai. Any questions up to this point or comments? Because we have a resident of Govardhan here. But he's actually authorized, whimsically. Prabhupada was not very happy with devotees going off and living in Radhakund and Govardhan. This, I mentioned Prithviputra last night. I heard that in 1974, I think, when Prabhupada had come to Vrindavan, and his rooms had just been made ready at the Krishna Balaram Mandir, but the temple was still under construction. So this devotee, Prithviputra, he was a French devotee. He had been in Vrindavan, that he had gone over to Radhakund. So there was this man, Krishnadas Babaji, not Prabhupada's godbrother, another man. And he kept inviting Prabhupada's foreign disciples to come and live with him at Radhakund. So Prithviputra had gone there. And then he heard that Prabhupada had come to Vrindavan, so he came back to the temple. So somebody had informed Srila Prabhupada that Prataputra was living in Radhakund. And when Prataputra came into the courtyard, apparently Prabhupada saw him and he jumped up and he shouted at him. He said, "You monkey." He said, "Why are you living in Radhakund? You're jumping like a monkey. You immediately come back here." So he shouted at him and he forced him to come back and live in the temple. And when I was with Prabhupada in Vrindavan, one day we were going out in a morning walk and this Krishna Das happened to be there in our grounds. And he came up, you know, to offer his respects to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very angry with him. And he chastised him and he told the devotees, "You don't go to this man's place." And he kicked him out. So Prabhupada was always, you know, very polite and, you know, there's some etiquette in his dealings. And he would never usually criticize somebody in public like that. But this man, because he was enticing his disciples to go and live in Radhakund, he chastised him right there in public. And he told him, "You don't come back here." He banned him from coming to the temple. So, yes, Prabhu.
You know, that? I think we're having a concert here. Well, who is it? you know,
in South Africa, somebody came. I was doing the seminar, and somebody's phone went off, and it went Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I said, "All right, you know, normally we ban the phones, but at least if you have to have it on, have a decent, you know, ringtone."
So, you know, it's not exactly like what the subject you're speaking on, but sometimes you hear the devotees say that, you know, "I really love to serve Krishna. I love service and I want to always be engaged in service, but I find sometimes that it's very, you know, I can't chant my rounds because I really just want to do service." And I'm wondering, in the course of all this, did Srila Prabhupada ever say anything about that matter? I mean, like, at one time, even in our society, some devotees are told, "Well, okay, don't worry about your japa, just get out there and, you know, do your service and, you know, you can make up." But here I'm hearing that Prabhupada's fixed number of rounds daily. And sometimes even today you see some devotees, or you can hear from some devotees, that "I'm always thinking of Krishna. Krishna is always on my mind, but, you know, I got so much service to do that I don't have time to chant my rounds."
Well, we see there in that class that Prabhupada gave, Prabhupada directly equated thinking of Krishna with chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So you can take the reverse on that, that if you're not chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, then it's not possible to always be thinking about Krishna. Because, you know, a devotee, if he's actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it's natural for him to always be chanting. And of course, Prabhupada said that if you don't do your 16 rounds, then you're in a diseased condition of spiritual life. There's that purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Haridas Thakur, when he was getting very, very old, he was becoming morose. And Lord Chaitanya went to see him and he asked him, you know, "What is your disease?" And he said, "My disease is that I can't finish my rounds." Because he was doing 3 lakhs a day. But Prabhupada says there that then, you know, we've set 16 rounds. If you can't chant at least 16 rounds, then you're in diseased condition of life. And he always insisted that if you don't do your 16 rounds, then the next day you have to make up the ones that you didn't do the day before. However, there were a couple of exceptions that I know of. And that's coming up. So I won't say what it is right now. But Prabhupada was very strict about it, you know, and he didn't like it if devotees weren't doing their rounds. No, the rest of the devotees need to hear.
When Haridas Thakur, you mentioned last night that he would be approached by his disciples or guests, he would be constantly chanting.
Not Haridas Thakur, that was Prabhupada's godbrother, Akinchana Krishna Das
Bhavaji. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So when he was chanting all this time, you know, even when he was listening to a response of a question, so have you. Do you think that he was actually counting his rounds while he was chanting?
Well, I don't want to speculate about that. He was chanting. He was in such a condition that he was always chanting, whether he was chanting on his japa or, you know, just any time. He was just always chanting. That was his... Well, he always had his beat back, and he was always chanting. Yeah, but that was his natural inclination. He couldn't stop chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So he was addicted to it. That's another thing. Somebody else had a... Amala Bhaktam for me.
My question is, did Srila Prabhupada actually authorize a number of Western devotees not only to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, but to actually stay there and not come back here and do what we call the actual kind of preaching we do? Because the preaching
he,
there
he
is
did indeed,
different.
And the next couple of anecdotes are
so
just
so there were some
that.
Who actually were authorized to do that.
Yes.
Okay.
But we'll see what happened. Yes,
last night you were speaking about Prabhupada sometimes being very enthusiastic, and that he enjoyed very much chanting Hare Krishna, and even while giving darshan sometimes we would hear the click click of japa, and also his god brother Baba Krishna Das, Babaji Maharaj, will speak in between. So I was wondering about, for them, it's okay to do that, but since we have to hear the holy name ourselves in our neophyte state, sometimes I've seen devotees, senior devotees, and even myself, sometimes I do that. We chant, and you just get caught up in reading a book. So where do we fit into that? You know, because it's both things are transcendental, but at the same time, you might not be hearing your rounds properly, and you think you're reading a shastra or something like that. So can you mention something about that?
Well, again, Prabhupada made it very clear. When you're chanting your japa, you shouldn't be doing anything else. You should just be hearing the holy names. Because we're neophytes. We're not, you know, Mahabhagwats. And if our attention's going somewhere else, you know, that's inattention when you're in the chanting of the holy names. It's one of the 10 offenses. So even if it may be going, you know, you start meditating about what management you're going to do for the day, or you start reading a book or something, or even if it's Krishna's pastimes. But the point about japa is to focus your attention exclusively on the holy name. And by doing that, you purify your heart, Krishna reveals himself, and you gradually come to the state, you know, of Kirtaniya Sadahariya, when you're always fully absorbed in Krishna at every moment. At that point, then you can be like Srila Prabhupada, you know, talking in darshan and at the same time chanting japa, which he did sometimes. But he was, you know, he was expert in chanting. But as he says, you can't imitate these kinds of things. You have to, you know, get the qualification. When you have the adhikar, then you can actually do something like that. But in the meantime, don't pretend. Chant very attentively. Prabhupada said you have to move the lips. The bottom jaw has to move. The sound has to be heard not by just yourself, but by others as well. That's, you know, Prabhupada was very specific in instructing us how to chant our japa. You know, even to that point of saying that the lips have to move, the jaw has to move, and you have to hear it, and others have to hear it also.
One more comment on the chanting and then a question. Once, I forget who the temple president was talking to Prabhupada about not being able to finish rounds. So the Prabhupada, sometimes when I'm so busy I don't finish. Prabhupada said, okay, so you finish the next day. He said, but Prabhupada, even the next day, and Prabhupada stopped him and said, you find time to eat, don't you?
He said what?
He said, you find time to eat, don't you?
Yeah.
In other words, yeah, one day, okay, you slide, but you know, by the next day, you better make them up, you know, Don't keep giving yourself the excuse that you're too busy. My question has to do with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In your experience with Prabhupada, did he ever go into details? In other words, we get some details from the book by Rupa Vilas about, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's relationship with Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji.
Yeah.
But did Srila Prabhupada ever speak about any of that directly? Or did he just find that out by research after Prabhupada left?
Did Prabhupada ever tell us about...
Yeah, about him wanting to commit suicide if he didn't get initiated, about the incidents surrounding Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's passing, how he told them, if you haven't had sex with him in the last 6 months, don't touch the body.
I didn't personally have any experience of that. Most of the pastimes that Prabhupada related to me about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were about his own exchanges, you know, in Radhakunda in 1935, and, you know, comments that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had made about Srila Prabhupada's future preaching work and things like that. So I didn't, you know, I never heard Prabhupada say anything about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Gaur Kishore. Maybe, you know, earlier, in the earlier days, I'm sure he made some comments.
The reason is, if that was common knowledge, then where would there be any question? In other words, if people at the time knew that he threatened to commit suicide if he didn't get initiated, then the fact that he didn't commit suicide would kind of indicate that he did get initiated.
Yes, well, the point is that these Babajis, and there'll be more about Raman Charandas Babaji later in this, he was heavily criticized by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So they were at odds. He started this Nittai Gaur Radha Shyam movement, and it was spreading very rapidly all over. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, was very annoyed by that and criticized him publicly. And it became very contentious to the point where, you know, when they were living in Puri, where this man had a big following, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was, you know, getting a lot of criticism for his criticism. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent him somewhere else, you know, to get him out of the heat of the situation. So there was these Babajis, you know, and then they didn't like, you know, the Gaudiya Math. They didn't like the fact that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was awarding, that he took sannyas, and that he was awarding sannyas. And even his own brother was criticizing him for that, Lalit Prasad. He became a Babaji, and he was criticizing his brother for having, you know, started a preaching movement. So they weren't into the preaching mode. They didn't like it. And so this myth about Srila Gaur Kishore not having any disciples or not having initiated Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, they used this idea that Gaur Kishore never had any disciples. So how could Bhaktisiddhanta have been initiated by him? They created that as a means of, you know, diminishing the stature of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And that's, you know, it's still there in Vrindavan. There's many Babajis, they still say like that. So what can you do? They can't see the obvious, you know, the practical effects. And therefore, Prabhupada's response was, you take all the Babajis, all the Mahatmas, you know, all the so-called advanced devotees in Vrindavan, and put them together, and you'll see they've not advanced Lord Chaitanya's movement one inch. Yeah, whereas we're spreading all over the world. So who is actually a confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya? You know, it's kind of absurd to suggest that somebody like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta or Srila Prabhupada were not confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya, considering the effects of, you know, their activities. So anyway, there's some, you know, that's Vrindavan. There's so many camps and factions and criticisms and, you know, different groups there of Babajis and what have you. Last one. Okay.
I was just going to comment that Archita Prabhu's question was if Srila Prabhupada ever mentioned these things, and he did, and they are in different classes on the Veda base. And Srila Prabhupada made specific mention of these very points.
Yes, I'm sure he did. I'm just, you know, personally, it never came up as an issue when I was with Srila Prabhupada. All the material that I've got here, apart from one or two exceptions, have all been, you know, it's all drawn from that period when I was traveling with Prabhupada. Okay, so we'll continue tonight at 7 o'clock, and we'll hear about some devotees that were chanting more than 16 rounds. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
just want to kind of like go with you, just very briefly. Like, you know, this to me would be okay if you could do that, okay? And maybe just like 4 minutes.